On the way back from the station, he would drag the improvised cumbiamba along in full view of all the people on the way, natives or outsiders, acquaintances or people yet to be known, without distinctions of any kind. Even the slippery Mr. Brown, who talked only in a strange tongue, let himself be seduced by the tempting signs that Aureliano Segundo made him, and several times he got dead drunk in Petracotes's house, and he even made the fierce German shepherd dogs that went everywhere with him dance to some Texas songs that he himself mumbled in one way or another to the accompaniment of the accordion. "Cease, cows," Aureliano Segundo shouted at the height of the party. "Cease, because life is short." He never looked better, nor had he been loved more, nor had the breeding of his animals been wilder. There was a slaughtering of so many cows, pigs, and chickens for the endless parties that the ground in the courtyard turned black and muddy with so much blood. It was an eternal execution ground of bones and innards, a mud pit of leftovers, and they had to keep exploding dynamite bombs all the time so that the buzzards would not pluck out the guests' eyes. Aureliano Segundo grew fat, purple-colored, turtle-shaped, because of an appetite comparable only to that of José Arcadio when he came back from traveling around the world. The prestige of his outlandish voracity, of his immense capacity as a spendthrift, of his unprecedented hospitality, went beyond the borders of the swamp and attracted the best-qualified gluttons from all along the coast. Fabulous eaters arrived from everywhere to take part in the irrational tourneys of capacity and resistance that were organized in the house of Petracotes. Aureliano Segundo was the unconquered eater until the luckless Saturday when Camila Sagastume appeared, a totemic female known all through the land by the good name of the Elephant. The duel lasted until dawn on Tuesday. During the first 24 hours, having dispatched a dinner of veal, with cassava, yams, and fried bananas, and a case and a half of champagne in addition, Aureliano Segundo was sure of victory. He seemed more enthusiastic, more vital than his imperturbable adversary, who possessed a style that was obviously more professional, but at the same time less emotional for the large crowd that filled the house. While Aureliano Segundo ate with great bites, overcome by the anxiety of victory, the Elephant was slicing her meat with the art of a surgeon, and eating it unhurriedly and even with a certain pleasure. She was gigantic and sturdy, but over her colossal form a tenderness of femininity prevailed, and she had a face that was so beautiful, hands so fine and well cared for, and such an irresistible personal charm, that when Aureliano Segundo saw her enter the house, he commented in a low voice that he would have preferred to have the tourney in bed and not at the table. Later on, when he saw her consume a side of veal without breaking a single rule of good table manners, he commented seriously that that delicate, fascinating, and insatiable proboscidean was in a certain way the ideal woman. He was not mistaken. The reputation of a bone crusher that had preceded the Elephant had no basis. She was not a beef cruncher or a bearded lady from a Greek circus, as had been said, but the director of a school of voice. She had learned to eat when she was already the respectable mother of a family, looking for a way for her children to eat better, and not by means of any artificial stimulation of their appetites, but through the absolute tranquility of their spirits. Her theory, demonstrated in practice, was based on the principle that a person who had all matters of conscience in perfect shape should be able to eat until overcome by fatigue, and it was for moral reasons and sporting interest that she left her school and her home to compete with a man whose fame as a great, unprincipled eater had spread throughout the country. From the first moment she saw him, she saw that Aureliano Segundo would lose not his stomach, but his character. At the end of the first night, while the Elephant was boldly going on, Aureliano Segundo was wearing himself out with a great deal of talking and laughing. They slept 4 hours. On awakening, each one had the juice of 40 oranges, 8 quarts of coffee, and 30 raw eggs. On the second morning, after many hours without sleep, and having put away 2 pigs, a bunch of bananas, and 4 cases of champagne, the Elephant suspected that Aureliano Segundo had unknowingly discovered the same method as hers, but by the absurd root of total irresponsibility. He was, therefore, more dangerous than she had thought. Nevertheless, when Petra Cortes brought two roast turkeys to the table, Aureliano II was a step away from being stuffed. "If you can't, don't eat any more," the elephant said to him. "Let's call it a tie."